David Eagle. David Eagle. The Radio Experience.
Hello, everybody. My name's David Eagle. Thank you very much for listening, downloading, streaming, injecting this into your bloodstream, whatever you did to get access to us. Thank you very much for doing that. And special thanks to anybody involved in our beta testing team who are involved in our latest experiments to get this delivered to listeners via an enema. And I would like to personally apologise to those people on our early round of experiments for what happened. We are making good progress now, but apologise to you and to your friends and family as well. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Sit back, relax. Well, obviously you can't sit down if you're involved in the enema experiment. Apologies for that again. But to the rest of you, sit back, relax, and enjoy our little adventure that we're about to take you on. Now, my name is David Eagle. You may remember me from... Oh, you'll remember me from all sorts of things, won't you? You know, you probably have talks about, you know, big long conversations in the pub about various projects that I've been involved in. But one of the many things that I do, I am a part of a folk group, the Young'uns, who sing folk music and sea shanties. And for the last 3 years, we've been involved in a maritime festival in Holland, the Apigadam Maritime Festival. And 3 years ago, we brought you a little travelogue of our experiences, and we're going to do the same this year. Now, what we have here is the culmination of 2 years' worth of recordings, because last year we did do recordings from the festival, but for whatever reason, we didn't get that to you. So this week, I was in litigations with the enema people, being sued left, right and centre for that. So that was a little bit tricky, as you'd imagine. But this year, we've managed to get this to you, and so it's very difficult to describe what it is. I'd like to say that it's a comprehensive documentary travelogue about Holland and about the Apigadam Maritime Festival. I'd like to say it's a comprehensive, in-depth look at the maritime culture in general. I'd also like to say that you should have a pen and paper ready to take down any notes, because we're also going to be teaching you, in quite a lot of detail, the Dutch lingo. I'd like to say that it's a great cultural podcast, and it does a lot for race relations. I mean, I'd like to say all that, but it probably doesn't, to be honest. So instead, it's literally just, I mean, a lot of it isn't even anything to do with Holland or the Maritime Festival itself. It's literally just me and my fellow young'uns, Michael Hughes and Sean Cooney, just kind of messing around and doing all sorts of random stuff. But I'm sure you'll enjoy it. I'm not sure you'll enjoy it, but I hope you'll enjoy it. And if you do enjoy it, feel free to let me know. If you don't enjoy it, feel free to let the other two young'uns know, and they'll deal with that. Oh, and I must also warn you as well that there's going to be a little bit of bad language, a bit of coarse language. So if you are the kind of person who may be offended by mentioning F words and C words, it doesn't happen very often, but I just thought I'd warn you. But for many people, this is just the perfect show, because you've got the F word, the C word, and sea shanties. I mean, that to many people is paradise. It's time to be transported to a Dutch train. But how are we going to get there, David? Well, how are we going to get there? It's obvious. Teleportation, of course. So hold on to your hats. Don't have to hold on to anything else. It's just everybody knows that teleportation is still in its infancy, and for some reason, you have to hold on to your hat. Don't worry about any other loose articles. They'll be fine, but make sure you hold on to your hats, whatever you do. There's a lot more hat molecules in the atmosphere since we started doing teleportation, and people are a little bit annoyed about it. Anyway, without further ado, let's teleport to a Dutch train. This is me teleporting, by the way. It's quite a painful process. Oh, I've lost my hat. Oh, for goodness sake. Oh, and I forgot my suitcase as well. Oh, damn.
So you join us on a Dutch train. We've been, we've taken the plane from Bradford and Leeds airports, not to Amsterdam, and then we're 3-hour train journey on a couple of trains in passing through such delightful places as Amsterdam, of course, Groningen, and now Sauwert, Bedum and Stedum. And of course, when you've done that, there's only one place you can go, and that is Apigadam. We're travelling in reverse, so I must observe already that one thing we have learnt is that all Dutch trains travel backwards. You'll hear many sweeping generalisations during the course of this, what I class as a very comprehensive travelogue. So we'll hear lots of sweeping generalisations. We'll also be speaking to some of the natives as well, proving that despite certain empirical problems that may have arisen in the past. Did we invade Holland? Was Holland one of our countries? Did we invade Holland? Was it part of our empire?
Who did?
Britain. Oh, not me personally. No, we were a bit drunk, we decided to invade Holland. Did we invade Holland?
No, there was walls, but there was never...
There was walls, but we never actually got round to invading, so... Interesting. So we'll hear a lot of interesting facts as we go on. Now, if you're not sure what we're doing, Epingham hosts the Maritime Festival, which is what we're going to be singing at, so... What also we're going to try and do is we're going to try and... Last time, I do realise I didn't really talk to any of the natives, you know, I was a bit shy. Also, the other thing I didn't do was I didn't find out any of the lingo. I don't know what the Dutch for lingo is. So, let's start as we mean to go on. So, do you mind me just asking what the Dutch for train is?
Train.
Is it just train?
Oh, in Dutch?
Yes,
train.
Yeah. Train. Oh, train. Oh, right. That, again, an anticlimax, really. I thought you'd be more original than that, stealing our words. Stealing. From the Latin, the ancient Latin trainus, of course. Because they had trains then. Oh. We might not survive this. Already we have learnt how the Dutch have coped with the economic recession, haven't we? Because we've just been warned on the train, please beware of pickpockets and thieves, and we didn't get any warnings to that effect last year, did we, Michael?
What a difference a year can make.
Well, exactly. Obviously, we'll have to have a look to see whether statistically the crime rate has gone up. But, I mean, obviously we have our bodyguards being the young'uns. But unfortunately, you didn't get VIP treatment at the airport, did you? Because you had to pay a certain extra flight charge. That's why I've come to Michael and not to you. The compassionate one. The compassionate young'un.
I'm not going to name the airline, but yeah, £30 to get a bag on it. We're playing because it was somewhat oversized.
It was...
It wasn't at all, that was the point. It would have fitted very nicely into the old red locker, but dear.
But unfortunately, that was an excess charge. Michael Hughes, you should have used the line, "Do you not know who I am? I'm from the Young'uns." Well, you don't have to travel very far before you start noticing cultural differences. And one of these cultural differences is, well, on trains in Britain, we would obviously have trolley people who would stand there pushing the trolley and saying anything off the trolley. And of course, if you're really funny, you might come out with a line like, "Yes, please, love, I'll have the wheels," or something like that. You'd only come up with a line like that, though. Oh, I'm just falling down the door of the train here. You'd only come up with a line like that if you were really funny. But they don't really seem to have that in Holland, or at least maybe. See, I'm always slightly reticent about making generalisations and saying, "Well, I'll tell you what they do in Holland," because it may just be one eccentric individual who's doing this. They may not do this any other place, but instead of having a trolley, you've got a man who's got a backpack on with loads of teacups and sandwiches and things like that, all sort of adorned with these cups and plates, and then he's got a tray round his neck with sandwiches and cups of tea and cups of coffee precariously balanced, and he's working his way through this train pushing past people, and there's cups sliding all over the place. And Mike's made the observation, apparently looks like a skier in the way that he's kind of very streamlined and he's kind of balanced really well. And I'm wondering kind of what course you have to go and do this, because it's precarious enough at times if you're pushing a trolley on a crowded train and making tea. But this man literally takes his hand off and he takes out his, you know, a cup and saucer from his backpack, and then he's pouring tea from his neck, and he's got the movement down to a T. Oh yes, I'm on form. Anyway, while we're on the subject of intimidating the natives of Holland, obviously, where we come from, well, I come from Hartlepool, and then you've got Pool, which is obviously the stretch of water, I think, because it's sort of the Saxon derivative. And Stockton, where Mike lives, is town, obviously. Sorry to interrupt again. Does Dam, does that mean town in Dutch? Does it? Is it Amsterdam, Piggedam?
Amsterdam.
Yeah. So is Dam town?
Dam town?
Yeah.
Stommestad.
Sorry?
Dam town.
Yeah, well...
What do you mean? Dam,
sorry,
town.
It's Amsterdam,
yeah.
Piggedam, Beerdam.
Yeah.
Does that mean town? The Dam bit?
Nee. Gewoon, ja, dat zijn... just names.
Are they just names?
I don't know.
Right.
Up and down.
Yeah.
No idea.
We might. We'll try and find that out. If we do, you know, we'll, if we find you, we'll let you know what the day is. We could teach you something about your. Excellent. So where are you up to then? You've obviously you've gone through Bedum. You weren't allured by Bedum. You didn't want to stay in Stedum. So are you a Pingadami as well?
Yes, a Pingadami. Yes.
Oh right. So are you aware of the Maritime Festival which is going on?
What?
The Maritime Festival. The sea shanties. Do you know anything about that?
No.
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 I did.
I'm just going to family. Nothing.
All right. Well, there's a. There's a family called the Bai Dape Festival.
Oh.
Which I presume means the deep. I'm not sure. Is that all right? Does that sound right? Bai Dape?
I don't know.
Ah, right. Well, there's a festival of sea shanties and things like that.
A festival?
Singing. A festival, yeah. Singing.
Yeah, upping it on.
Yes, yeah.
Whoa.
So there you are. That's what we're going to be doing. We're performing there.
All right.
So yeah. So if you fancy bringing the family there, that's where we shall be.
All right. Exactly. Maybe I'll see you there.
Just follow the sound of shanties. Isn't it? So do you know much about sea shanties or not?
No.
What kind of music are you into? Do you listen to a lot of native Dutch music, or is it mainly English and American?
I listen to English and Dutch.
Oh, the Dutch as well. So what Dutch group should we look out for then?
Let me think. Doemar.
Doemar.
Do you know Doemar?
I probably won't know them, but we can research. You know, we could, while we're listening to this travelogue, we could have you saying them, and then we could do like a greatest hits, and we could have Doemar suddenly coming out of the speakers, you see. So Doemar, yeah, got two more, top three.
Weet je nog een Nederlandse zanger of zo?
That's a long name.
My aunt says Frans Bauer.
Frans Bauer.
I don't
right.
like that very much. But Frans Bauer.
That's a little bit.
It's very popular in Dutch and Jan Smit.
All right.
Who
okay.
Sing as well and.
Ooh. We're on a roll.
Yes.
Excellent. So who's in the Dutch chart right now? Who's number one then?
Do you number know? One.
Yeah.
In the Dutch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Jan Smit.
Jan Smit,
so.
Right.
Yeah, he's a lot on TV and, on Net 1 and 2 and 3.
Oh, right.
I see him there always, so, yeah.
Ah, excellent.
I think that's the top.
There you are, so we're learning a lot. Before you go, before you go, obviously you go to Pingadam, but we need a Dutch for thank you. What's Dutch for thank you?
When you say thank
you,
in Dutch, dankjewel.
Dankjewel, right.
Yeah.
That's right, dankjewel. Brilliant.
Dankjewel.
Not dankjewel. Dankjewel. Is that right, dankjewel? I'm saying that right, aren't I?
Dankjewel,
not donkey. All right.
Dankjewel.
It's like a superhero. Donkeyville, where all the donkeys live. And ville is another word for town, of course, in French. So I'm thinking that Dom must be town.
I think it makes sense, doesn't it?
It does make sense, yes.
I'm saying
Papa Dom. Yeah, Papa Dom.
So
that must mean the town of
bread.
Dry, crisp type thing.
Yeah.
You fry.
The capital of that is mango chutney.
Yeah.
We're getting that, Dave.
We're doing well, Michael. We've got another light there. That's just the sound of Michael, my fellow associate, colleague, comrade and friend in the folk group, the Young'uns. We'll be performing shanties here at the Pingadam Festival. That joke is... Oh, here we go.
Dames en heren, het volgende station is
Pingadam. Yes.
Fine.
Yes, exactly. Finally, get rid of him.
So what,
escape.
What's thank you again, Dave?
Dankjewel. Yes, dankjewel. Dankjewel for all your input. There you are. So Michael Hughes, we're talking about language and things like that, and Mike the teacher showing off the bastion of the English language, has just said, oh yeah, so dankjewel, that must be from the French, mustn't it? That must be from the French what, Michael?
I don't know, there's some kind
of French
wording.
Dankeschön.
No, I didn't say that at all.
Which means thank you. Which means thank you. They don't say danker in French.
No, so there's dank, isn't there? There's a phrase in French, I'm sure.
Yeah, it probably means wet.
Oh, right.
Anyway, we've got off the train. We're in Pingadam. I've got some observations that I've made on my journey. I didn't think we'd bring you the delights of Bradford and Leeds Airport. I know you're probably quite annoyed about that. Well, Bradford and Leeds, David. I mean, if it was just any old airport, Teesside, I can understand, but Bradford and Leeds. Well, I didn't do that because you can't really record when you're on the plane. They're all sort of they're frisking you and things like that. And I thought best not to do an interview with a frisker. How long have you been frisking? I didn't think would work. So yes, we were frisked successfully, or at least Mike and I were frisked successfully at the airport. Sean.
I didn't get frisked.
You didn't get frisked.
I asked to be frisked.
He didn't get frisked.
I marched straight up to this woman and said,
"Why, I haven't
are you not going to frisk me?"
Did she just say no?
She refused
to frisk.
She refused.
It must have been something on you there, Michael. She didn't want to frisk. I told you should have sprayed that extra bit of cologne. Meanwhile, Sean, obviously, I don't know, he must be using some special soap or deodorant because she was taking your shoes off. She's coming back. Our friend from the train is coming back. She probably wants to know where she can hear that delightful interview.
Exactly.
That's probably what it was.
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes.
My parents said they will take me here on 1 o'clock.
All right.
But they are not here. May I use your phone to call them?
Yeah, there we have.
Yeah?
There you are. Well,
very nice.
You might have to dial...
zero.
International, yeah. Is it 0031, is it?
All right. Can you do it for me?
Sound
off, yeah. 06...
Oh, we're probably not have the number. So you see, this is already, we're helping the Dutch. What would she have done without us there? We may have had wars, but now we're helping. Anyway, so Sean's shoes were removed. And they spent ages monitoring the shoes. And are you sure you don't have metal toes, Sean, they were saying. Oh, yes, they know us by name. You know, we like to be personal when we don't believe that people should... We should just be frisked. We like to have a verbal exchange first, where our name is mentioned. Anyway, so once we've discussed our names with them, and if we had any pets, and our favourite foods, so, you know, they get to know a little bit about us. So I had a normal frisk, just the, you know, the whole thing there, you know, bit of a normal frisk, lasted for about 20 seconds. Mike didn't get frisked, and Sean's frisk lasted for 5 minutes. So, I don't know what that says, if anything. Meanwhile, our friend, who is asking to borrow Sean Cooney's mobile phone, unbelievable, we just made the vow, oh, we're in Holland, you know, we won't use our mobile, really, but now she's made two calls on this mobile phone of Sean Cooney's, unbelievable, and I think some coarse language coming out as well. I've not heard many Dankervilles, but I've heard a few words, raising her voice a little bit there. I don't know what the Dutch for F-off is.
I think there's a lot of ech and all that stuff.
Yes, exactly. Probably ech. Ech-och. That's probably what it is. The other thing I want to comment on about the airport is we got a bacon sandwich. Begrudgingly, we got a bacon sandwich. How much do you think it would cost for a bacon sandwich? £2 or £3 at the most. £4.25 in the drive from Leeds Airport for a bacon sandwich. Meanwhile, we have been greeted. Hello there.
Have a good trip.
How are you doing? This is Hero. Hello.
Ahoy.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Hey, how are you doing? All right.
Nice to see you.
Hello.
Hello, Yannicka.
How are you?
How are you doing? Very well.
It's
going to be wet. So we're in Hero's car now. I don't know whether what we're listening to is authentic Dutch country and western, but we're listening to country and western music. So we've learnt the Dutch for train. What's the Dutch for car then? How would you say car in Dutch?
Auto.
Auto. Of course.
We were quite disappointed that train was just train.
yeah, we were expecting something a little bit more fancy, a little bit more creativity.
Train.
Did you say that you're called Will? The driver's called Will.
Yeah.
Will, oh, excellent.
Grace, yeah.
As in steering wheel.
Yay.
Because he's driving. Excellent. Another interesting phenomena that we have now discovered is the bus stops tell you exactly, and I say exactly, how long it is to get to a certain place from another place. So we just saw, to get to the hotel that we're going to, apparently is going to take us exactly 7 minutes 18 seconds. I haven't got a clue. I haven't got a clue how it calculates
right.
This.
There's that many variables going on, but I think it's just based on average or speed limit or something like that. I don't know.
There is
a car going at the speed limit. That's how long it would pass.
Yeah, but it would have to stick it at the exact speed limit.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah.
I mean, are the Dutch drivers very predictable drivers?
Well, perhaps. Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we should ask our friends in the front seat here. Well, very inconveniently, just... I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to word this, but we'll see how it works. Listen to the way that I communicate. You'd have thought I had a babel fish in my ear the way that I talk. Right.
Yeah.
So the, you know that the bus stops.
I've looked at the American. Didn't.
You know the bus stop that we just passed. The bus stop that we just passed.
The bus.
We just passed a bus stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. It told us how long it would take to get from the bus stop to the hotel. Exactly. It says. To where? Where was it?
To Piccadilly.
It said it would take us 7 minutes and 18 seconds to get to a Piccadilly. How? Yes? Is that right?
Wat bedoelt hij dan? Hoe lang doen wij er nog over rijden? Is het 7 minuten?
Is that right? Yeah, yeah, the exact. What? How does it know the exact time it'll take us?
That song? No, I don't know what you mean.
Neither do we.
What's
the question? You don't know?
On the bus, yes, they do. Yes, they do know. They've just been talking about it. Sean, you try and explain it.
So they're on their bus stop, it said.
Delicate bush. Bus stop?
Written on it said it takes 7 minutes and
18 seconds.
18 seconds. Very
to get to a Piccadilly.
Very exact. Very German. Very. We will be there in 7 minutes and 18 seconds.
How does it know how long it's going to take us to the second?
I have no idea what you mean.
David Eagle.
What is David Eagle?
This is like a
suddenly like your bit. Will you try?
No.
It's Michael's attempt. So did you used to go to Badham or Stadham on your holidays when you were younger?
I'm sorry?
Have you ever been to Badham or Stadham?
Yes, I've been there.
Are they good places?
Much rain.
Lots of rain, all right. Yeah, well, we're thinking maybe, you know, when we're in a if we save our pocket money up, we might go to Stadham on holiday. To Badham.
We've arrived, Mr. Eagle.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, you fool. Thank
you.
So now we've arrived at the hotel. Now you would imagine that, obviously, they don't really know who we are in Holland as of yet, so we didn't get our usual welcome of a fanfare and the screaming women and the cheerleaders. There's only two beds in the room. Oh, well, there's three beds then.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, there we are.
Shall we rock purposes?
You didn't. Oh, that's right. Who will get the camper bed? It's time to play. The young'uns play rock, paper, scissors. Or rock, paper, and scissors, as they say in Dutch. Michael Hughes will commentate as Sean and I go head to head in the first round.
Here we go.
Okay. So, any rules, Michael? Is it just 1, 2, 3? Just to remind people, in this game, paper wraps around rock, therefore wins.
Okay.
Scissors cut paper, therefore wins. And rock will cut the scissors, therefore wins. It'll blunt the scissors. It's time to play rock, paper, scissors. We're psyching each other out here with our war cries. Ooh. That's so my walk, right?
Hang on.
Oh, you seem to be confused with the rules.
Surely the loser gets this.
The camp bed, yeah.
There's only one.
The camp bed.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're fighting for.
So we don't want to lose.
We don't want to lose. No, you never lose, no.
I'm not winning the bed, right? Okay.
Okay.
One, two, three. Paper. Hang on. You've got to say. You can't just do the actions.
I did it.
You didn't say. No, you didn't say anything. You have to. Yes, you do.
You don't. You never say. I know you.
Yeah, you do.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
But you. Well, I had scissors and I didn't.
No, you've got to say it.
You don't say it.
Yes, you do. Otherwise, how the hell is it working?
Well, obviously, you're.
1, 2, 3, and you say. No, no, no.
Well, it's. You have to say.
It works not. No, no.
David Eagle.
Right, let's just do it again.
People of the world. No, listen, Dave. No, I didn't. I'm not trying to get one over on you, but that's how it works. No one does it. I didn't see you and then just do it.
That's how it works. No, you have to say.
No one ever says.
It's called rock, paper, scissors. It's not called.
Yeah, but you. Well, let's just say then. Let's just put our hands in our pockets and let's just say.
We can do it.
1, 2, 3, rock.
Scissors.
Yeah.
No.
So I'll win again. So
all right. So now it's. Hang on, let's think. So you definitely don't. You don't get it. No. So you don't get it. So now it's Mike.
1, 2, 3, rock. I'm both on rock, you see. This is a more exciting game. 1, 2, 3, scissors. Rock. Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, dear.
dare you?
So I get the camp a bit. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you could sleep anywhere. You just slept on a train.
So you know what it's like when you go in a shower? It's very tempting to have a little sing to yourself because the water's loud and you think, oh, well, I'll have a little sing nobody else can hear. Well, this is Sean Cooney. He's quite loud, really. In fact, I might even open the door so you can hear how loud he is. I'll slowly open the door so if he notices. Please lock the door. Let's see how long it takes for me to get his attention. How many times will I have to shout Sean before he hear me? How many times do you think, Mike?
Three
times. Okay. Sean? 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 No, he's stopped, but I mean, that could be because he's at the end of the ballad. He's not. Sean? Sean? So we've just had a nap, and I can't vouch for the other two, but Dutch camper beds, Michael, very comfortable. A Dutch camp bed is very comfortable. Here's a Dutch normal bed. This is a Dutch single bed. Is that comfortable as well, Michael?
Yeah, it's very interesting. The pillows are massive.
Yeah. The problem is, there's probably no equivalent to the fairy tale Goldilocks and the Three Bears, because in Holland, all the beds are comfortable, so it would be... Tries the first bed. Lovely. Lovely. Absolutely lovely. And unfortunately, you don't get... The setup isn't quite as good. I bet they have really good porridge as well. Here comes Sean Cooney, emerging from the shower. He's back in. He's got back in the shower. Maybe he just stopped so he could take a drink of water for his voice. And now he's refueled again. And the shower has once more started. And his song has started again. What ballad will he move on to next? Oh, he's off again. He's off again. A little pause. Maybe he was expecting an applause. He was.
It's intermittent. He has 20 showers a day. We just don't realise.
Yeah.
He gets in, then comes out, has a drink of water.
Yeah, refuels.
Everything's still there.
Oh, he's off again. The shower's started again. Oh, he's doing it on purpose now. He's teasing the crowd. He's a crowd teaser. They want more. He's on. He's off. Maybe Sean's bionic, we didn't realise. And he's got to wash them. Each part has to be washed separately. There's like different rules, because he's
back. I'm now removing my willy.
Oh no, it's gone. Oh, never mind. Hey!
Hey!
Oh, John Kenny. Couple of ballads going on there. Were they shower classics, or were they chosen especially for the occasion? We've already met two Dutch lesbians. We've met two lesbian Dutch couples holding hands, and a little bit of Dutch canoodling as well. I'll have to find out what the Dutch for canoodle is. And so my second generalisation of the day is that all Dutch women are lesbians. So there you are. So we've got a lot of... You're learning a lot from this exciting travelogue, and we haven't even stepped foot out of the hotel. Believe it or not, there's a whole maritime festival to come as well this weekend. Oh! We could just do the whole thing from a Dutch bathroom, which is where I am currently. There's a lot of people on bikes from very mixed ages, from the very young to the very old. The cycle of life. The full cycle of life. Lots of people stopping off for donuts. It is basically the Dutch way of life. They cycle everywhere, they just go on a jolly, cycle around on their bike. They think, we've done a bit of cycling, we're not driving, you know. We can afford to have a donut. Have a little chat to the market stall. Have a little bit of a donut. Cycle a bit. If you're a woman, obviously, park your bike outside. Go and see your lesbian friend. Now the sound of an authentic Dutch buggy.
Really?
With Sean Cooney shouting over it, apologise. Well, we've tried a Dutch bed, but we have as of yet, we have not tried a Dutch seat. Very nice, with a nice Dutch table as well, and... Is this a Dutch newspaper?
Yeah, it is.
Ah, excellent. So,
are you translated for us, David?
I know it is, isn't it? But there's pictures. So, what pictures do we have?
Water polo.
Ah, water polo. I wonder if they're big on the water polo. Yeah. Ah, Holland, we may have come at a great time as Holland are victorious in the water polo. They said they would never happen, but, well, I wasn't so sure. I always thought they would be victorious one day. What a glorious day to arrive in Holland. Man, no wonder people are celebrating. The donut stall, you know, making great business. The day just gets even better. Holland have also won the hockey as well. So, this is brilliant. What a glorious day to be in Holland. And the celebrations continue as victorious once again are the Dutch, not only in water polo and in hockey, but also in swimming as well. And our Dutch guide and organiser hero has informed us that the Dutch man in question recovered from cancer just 2 years ago, from lung cancer, got into the water. I mean, it probably presumably wasn't his first time. And victorious, another gold medal for Holland. That's what happens when we, as soon as we touch down in Holland, they are victors. It's almost like I've adopted this as my country now. We learned last year when we were at Holland that the Norwegians certainly know how to party. Last time they were drinking beers from the early hours of the morning onwards after about 3 hours sleep, and they were performing at about 9-10 o'clock in the morning. Everybody else is really hungover, and they said, we don't get hungover because we have a hangover cure. And we were like, oh brilliant, what's that? You know, thinking they're going to give us some great hot boiled water and they'll whip each other into a frenzy or something, you know what the Norwegians are like. And but no, it's not, it's simply just to drink more and more beer so that they cannot possibly be a hangover, because they never actually reach that stage because they're always drunk. Being in the Young'uns is a world where many people think is a very decadent world, a world of drunkenness and women and debauchery.
That's only 90% of the time.
But sometimes it's also a world of compromise, and that has certainly come to the fore where Sean and Mike have nearly come to blows over this. Because you assumed that it was nap time. You assumed it was nap time. We've just done a rehearsal, and Mike's just assumed it was nap time, and he's just drawn the curtains, and Sean is nearly... Oh, Sean wasn't happy because he was reading a very exciting book. What book were you reading, Sean?
Diary.
It's his notebook. Sean was reading his memoirs, revisiting the good times before pre-fork. Anyway, so Mike drew the curtains and said, nap time, and Sean went, no, it's not nap time, I'm reading my memoirs, for goodness sake. So... So what happened then?
I drew the curtains and he said, I want a little bit of light. I said, well, let's compromise. I said, why don't you go and have a sit in the bathroom?
So he was there to say, he wouldn't do that. He didn't think that was good. So then they're trying to draw the curtains at an adequate period. I think we've got half light, half dark now.
Based on experience, I've never known Sean Cooley turned down a nap.
But he's reading his memoirs.
I'm just going to do
a bit of writing. Exactly. It wasn't easy being a Cooney, growing up in the suburbs of Stockton. That's what he's writing, Mr. Cooney's memoirs. What are you... Memoirs? So he's writing poetry. Have you got dyspraxia or something, or some balance problem? You've just... Michael Hughes has now just fallen out of the bed. You do this on every single thing that we go to of recent. You've fallen out of the bed. You did it in Germany.
No, I did it in North Allen.
You did it in Germany. You did it in North Allen.
Sean told me a story and I fell out of the bed laughing.
Unbelievable. So why have you fallen out of the bed this time?
Well, I don't know. I just balance, I suppose.
You idiot! Get up! He's still just laughing.
Broken my arm.
Broken your arm? Where's the arm in that? Which is what someone would say if they were hilarious. Good best in British humour. Right, Michael. Get yourself...
I forgot to tell you this. Oh, no, I've told you this, David, but Roy Tubby Brown goes to my gym.
Oh, that is genius. Rob Tubby Brown, of all the people who are the least...
Roy Tubby Brown goes to any gym.
That's the worst lie in the world, isn't it?
Well, no, this is the thing. I found out he's going on a new tour. But I saw him on the day before we left for, the day before the exam. So Wednesday morning I went and he was in. But he didn't do a thing. on the machines. He didn't do anything. He got changed and everything like that and came out. But he was talking to everybody. He was
promoting
his
gay. Oh, my God, he's gay.
I'm sure he was promoting his
gay. We just heard it here first. Roger Brown is gay.
Continue. Well, that's libelous. That's, and I certainly didn't say that. Well,
is that his partner, name of his partner?
So he didn't do a thing, then went back in the change rooms, got changed again and left.
Oh, my goodness.
So I think
did you see Roy Chubby Brown naked?
No, I didn't. No, he was in the main gym pie, wasn't he, I suppose?
I'll find out just how chubby he is. Dear, dear. Well, let's hope he's not brown. Oh, my God.
Well, let's not be racist about it, dear.
No, I don't mean that. I was thinking more. Oh, God.
I think he realises he's chubby, Dave. I mean, by the name. I mean, his name is Roy Brown, and so... Oh,
yeah. So, what kind of... Did you hear what some of the things he was talking about?
Oh, he was making people laugh. No,
oh, my real, God, really? A comedian?
He's one of those... He's like a reverse comedian, really, you know? Because, you know, comedians, when they get off stage, they hate the question, tell me a joke, and
yeah,
it seems very cliche, you know? But I think he loves it. I think he, like, goes out and, without people asking, tells them a joke.
Tell the listeners what happened in Saltburn. Because you met... Yeah, two people came into the Saltburn Four Festival.
Well, he's finished reading his memoirs. I'm
shocked. He's probably got it. He's probably got it in his memoirs. He could probably read out the chapter with it on. Right. Michael, you walk into Saltburn. You're in Saltburn Four Festival and two people...
Yeah. No, we were having a great thing. And two comedians, well, two people came in. One was really kind of young lad in his early 20s, I presume. And then an older woman who was probably in her 30s. And I said, oh, come and join in, come and join us. You know, it's a folk festival. So they did, they sat with us. And I just happened to say, or Sean happened to say, what do you do for a living? What do you do? You know, are you a folk performer? And just idle chitty chat. They said, oh, we're stand-up comedians. And my immediate reaction to this was, well, tell us a joke. And he fumbled about. Well, they both did, but fumbled about. Not with himself.
Fumbling, isn't he?
He's not like you, Dirty Dave. But he fumbled about, and he couldn't tell a joke, and he produced out of his top pocket.
It's like no one had ever asked him before.
He's like, he'd never...
What a joke, Then he got out of his top pocket this notepad that was like a waiter's notebook, and he spent the next 3.5 hours looking through it.
And he couldn't find one after 3 hours.
And my point to him was, right, okay, look, this is not like stand-up comedy. And I said, right, watch this. And I'll listen to this, so to say. I'm going to prove a point here. And I rang you, didn't I, Davey? I rang you.
You rang me, and I was in a restaurant, and you said...
Seven people were listening to this phone call.
And you simply said, tell me a joke.
And you...
So obviously I said, how do you turn a duck into a soul singer? How do you turn a duck into a soul singer? Put it in the microwave until it's Bill Withers.
And he loved it. And
the best bit is...
it down.
But the great bit is, they both wrote it down and said, we'll include it in our set. But then you said, apparently they said, my humour's quite dark and political. So
yeah,
that's the reason.
Yeah.
That's the reason I can't tell you a joke, because it's like very dark and political, and some of my jokes are quite convoluted and lengthy and very detailed. And then, after all that, they wrote a little one-liner like that. So I think basically they were a bit rubbish. But then how did it culminate, Michael Hughes?
Oh, David, I mean, it was just like, oh, no, all this chitty jet and all this commercial linkage. We're trying to have a nap here, you know. And Sean's reading his memoirs, I'm trying to have a map. And
a map?
A map. Yeah. We fall out the bed.
Fall out the bed, I think you need one.
Oh, but it was absolutely brilliant.
Hang on, how did it culminate? That's what I said. I'm feeding you the lines, Michael. The one-liners. He said, right at the end, he said at the end, he said, why don't you come in, lads? Why don't you come and do...
The girl said it was... I know, I'm just repeating what you've tried to say, but you wouldn't even...
Does it make a difference if it was the woman or the man?
Because she was... The irony of the whole situation was that they were both the most miserable people I think I've ever met in my life. She said, oh, I think our two things would marry up, your music and our comedy. You know, I think we should do a night together. It'd be a really good blend. But we can't pay, you know, because, well, we don't get paid because we're not funny, we're crap, you know. So... Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So there is another story, and you'll have more of them. And, of course, if you want that in written form, you can go to Sean Cooney's website and buy his memoirs, and they'll probably be in there.
Yeah.
Along with I Had a Difficult Upbringing.
I've got to tell you this. You came out with a corker on the train yesterday.
Let's not talk about me coming out with me corker.
TNA, am I going to use?
David Eagle sat next to me. I heard someone say on the radio once that you learn a lot about a person through doing the iPod shuffle and what music they listen to.
Oh, there was that going on.
We were listening to that, and it was wonderful.
Your iPod was on. Sean Cooney writes it better than me. Are you following this, Mike? Sean, are you writing this all down?
Well, dictate.
What happens? No, for goodness sake, let's not talk about dictate. There. And he's corker. So we had... There we are. We're listening to the iPod and other MP3 players are available, we should say. Other formats, other audio formats are available as well. Nothing wrong with WMA. Nothing wrong with the AC. Anyway, so what happens is we're sitting there, and then all of a sudden, I forgot where I was, but all of a sudden I just turned to Mike and I go, Michael, there's a man who, I think he might be mental or something, he's just talking absolute gibberish over there. And then Mike goes, yeah, David, we're in Holland, they're speaking Dutch. And I'm like, oh yeah, of course. So
that makes you sound like a complete twit.
Well, Michael, are you?
That's what I say to that.
Right.
Are you late on the bed with your shoes on, Dave? Are you not going to, like...
Well,
I'm
not
asking you to strip off, I'm just asking.
I think you are. So, leave us to that while Sean Cooney writes his memoir. I'm mentioning that. And I'll take my shoes off. I'll do a very slow striptease. Now, when doing any broadcast or anything in entertainment, it's always a good idea, I think, to do a little bit of a survey and find out what the listener would want from this kind of documentary. Unfortunately, we haven't done a survey, but I'm sure had we done a survey, you would have all wanted to know something, and which we failed to cover, really, on any other podcast that we've done. And I think we should address that issue now, and that is the toilet habits of the young'uns. So I know for a fact that straight away, after having our kebab, which we ate last night, that Sean Cooney, all of a sudden, he went to the toilet and a number two was had. He probably had a number two before a number... How do I know? Because you were in there a long time and there was noises and smells. I would assume...
Sean, if I can't offend you on this, because you don't actually come out and say, well, I'd leave it at least 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you've got very potent urine. I was going to say that Sean straight away has done it. I'm not sure. I haven't done anything like that. I've not done a number two yet. Of course I've done a number one. I just said to Michael, have you done a number two yet in Holland? And he's just made, in my opinion, he's just made the most outlandish statement that I've ever heard. And I want Michael Hughes to say it from his own mouth. I shouldn't even get close to him after listening to this statement. Michael Hughes, what have you just said? I just said to you, have you done a number two in Holland yet? And your statement is?
No.
But why?
Well, that's how my statement...
No, your statement was, you said, Michael, I never do a number two. I never do a number two on the road.
I don't.
Michael, we've been together. Michael, we've been away for...
We
will be away. Michael, we're going to be away. We arrived here on Thursday, right? So, from Thursday to Monday, you're not going to go to the toilet and do a number two?
No.
All of Thursday, all of Friday, all of Saturday, all of Sunday, and more or less all of Monday, because we're not going to get back till 8 o'clock. That's 5 days without a shit, you idiot! How are you going to do that? How are you going to, Michael? That is impossible!
No, the only way that I will go for number two is if I have bran flakes or fruit and fibre for breakfast on the morning. That's the only way.
What?
And in that way, I will a brick. There you are.
Michael Hughes, Michael, you've just eaten a kebab, you've eaten the amount of meat that you've eaten. It's impossible for your body not to want it. Why don't you just do it? What is it about doing a number two in...
I'm not going to force it out. I'm not going to try it.
Not going to force it out. You've got problems. You've got problems. No wonder you... He also suffers from insomnia. No wonder you can't get to sleep. You've got all that going on in your stomach.
Not as bad now, sir.
In fact, you actually announced when we had the kebab, you went, the kebab's doing a conger in me colon. You need to go. And I think we should cover this now. I think we should... you and I will go to the toilet together and we'll try and do it. That is my ambition. If we achieve nothing else in Holland, we will have you. You will have a number two by the end of the thing. We're going to catch you out on this. You're going to do it surreptitiously. You're going to do it when we're not looking. When we're not looking. When Sean's not peering through the lock. When you see Sean's not peering through the lock like he normally does. You're going to go, oh, now's me a chance.
Sean's peeing through the lock. If you
just... looking through the lock. Oh, that is unbelievable.
I'm telling you the truth there, sir.
That is unbelievable. Yeah, I don't believe. You didn't go once in Germany.
No, I didn't,
no. I know he'd been gone. Literally, the majority of the doc... all of a sudden, the documentary has just turned into this. But like, the last 10 minutes going, you're telling me you haven't had a shit.
Well, it's a bit crap, this documentary,
Sean. Oh, come on, Michael. Don't you go poop off, I'm going to say. Not do the old...
Go poo.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway. It's always good. Cover... What? I think you need to get... What the...
TV!
My... Oh! Mr. Hughes, this is absolutely brilliant. Mike's pulled. Unbelievable. Well and truly pulled, Michael.
Not at all,
no. You were talking to, let's just say, an international group. You were talking to someone from an international group, and you were getting on quite well with them. And then you said, I just have to say, your English is absolutely impeccable, my friend.
That's a compliment,
and so
yeah.
You did a little compliment then. You went, oh, thank you very much. And then we were all sort of, like, having a little joke on. And saying various little things. Well, because that's right, because Mike got the biggest hug. Mike got the biggest hug in Christendom. And a little bit of a peck on the cheek. And we said, and then, right at the end, so I said something. And then I think we were just joking on. And I said something like, oh, yes, and I must say, how nice you look. Do I get so much of a hug? And I got a little hug. But then he turned back to Mike and went, oh, you keep up compliments like that, my friend. And you know, after a few drinks, you get a blow. Job. And Mike didn't hear what he said. Mike didn't hear what he said. So Mike just went, oh, brilliant. Looking forward to it, mate. It was a Polish group. He's been chatted up by a Pole. And let's just see how stiff and hard his pole is. A little later and long his pole is a little later on, I think, Michael Hughes. Oh. What is really good here is you can tell when you listen to these, this Armstrong's patent still, the natives of Holland singing. It's great because you can tell they've learnt it from a certain version. So listen, here we go.
Turn around the gaps for heave-a-bore, bound ship station, boys,
behind me. Isn't brilliant? So, they've obviously learnt it from a certain accent. So you've got the lead singer, who sounds like he's learnt it from a Geordie.
Seen a four.
You've got this Geordie Dutch accent. And then, you've got this very refined, very posh chorus. Here we go. Listen to the words, be handy. Be handy.
Be handy.
Brilliant. Getting up to all sorts of hijinks and capery here as, Michael Hughes in particular has got very drunk and he's been dancing with the random people who have entered the building. Sean Cooney has managed, he's been trying to put off the photographer, the official photographer, who's very stoic, he really enjoys his job. He just pops up from nowhere. We often joke that he can just be doing any performance or doing anything. He'll just pop from under a table and he'll just snap a photograph. He's a very good photographer. He will catch you at a natural pose. Because we often joke that, you know, we're in the shower or something and the photographer will just go, say cheese, and just come out. But Sean's been trying to put off the photographer. The man had his arms up trying to take a picture, like from a height, like a good shot from a height. And Sean stood there tickling him under the armpit. armpits. And the man just literally doesn't respond. He just he doesn't even notice. He just takes a picture. So that photographer deserves marks for that. But lots of drunken revelry going on here with the young'uns. But I'll prove it by going up to Michael and just say, asking him to say a random sentence. Michael, say a random sentence. Hello? Yeah! Exactly. He's very drunk. So who knows? We haven't even done our first performance yet. Our first performance is at 9:30. It's currently 9 o'clock, so... So it's going to be an interesting evening, I think. We got three performances tonight. We have a performance which is in a restaurant, which is in a restaurant where people presumably will be eating and we will be entertaining the eaters. So we'll probably be doing something a little bit more easy listening. So Sean's just confused the woman there. She just thought we were some random people who wanted to sing in the restaurant.
Just tell us if we're too loud. Or...
Exactly, we can.
I dreamed a dream.
We're not trained. We can say train.
Please continue the way you did it. Yeah. But we're here as part of the by date, which I think means the deep.
So we've just performed in the restaurant. And it went really well, actually, considering we're a bit sort of hesitant, almost, because people were eating their meals, and we thought, well, a few people have, in fact, actually said in the past that we are quite hard to swallow. And, you know, I didn't want to... I thought doing a gig like this, we may have bit off more than we could chew. But in a strange way, we're also chomping at the bit to perform as well. So we really got our teeth into the performance, and, yes, it was very good. And what's also interesting is the woman beforehand, the manageress of the restaurant, came round all the customers table by table and apologised for the fact that there was going to be three yobbish-looking men singing maritime music. But fortunately, everything was fine. Nobody walked out.
And we all got drunk in Dublin City.
Fall down, Billy.
We all got drunk and the more's the pity and it's
fall down, Billy O'Shea.
We laid ourselves down Rogerson's Quay.
Fall down, Billy.
When we woke up, we were out to sea and it's
fall down, Billy O'Shea.
And it's
fall down, fall down, fall down, Billy. We're on our way to America and it's fall down, Billy O'Shea.
I've just been served some very interesting tasting water in this Dutch pub which we're going to perform in next. It's kind of like, I don't know, it tasted of the reminiscences of beer and also the reminiscences of smoke, but kind of more Dutch smoke than your general tobacco, let's just say. So I was getting high off Dutch water.
Bloody long way.
In our first set in a fairly noisy pub, I think we managed to reconcile them. I think we managed to make them appreciate us. I think they enjoyed us quite well. And we're going to try and do the same. Listen to the noise in this pub! It's a pretty noisy establishment we're in at this moment in time, Michael.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But we are prepared, are we not?
Prepared and budgeted.
Yeah, we are prepared to give them something they'll never forget. The Aeons! Hello everybody, it's David Eagle again, back in the studio. Just to remind you that you're listening to our coverage of a Piggadarms Maritime Festival in Holland. What you're currently listening to right now is a very drunken performance from myself and the young'uns, and it's a very noisy pub that we're in. And so basically what we're doing is we're walking at this point round the hall of the pub, just kind of trying to get everybody's attention, and we're just kind of shouting in their ears, and Mike sort of dancing on tables, and we got up to all sorts of crazy stuff, and we had all sorts of people who just crowded the stage, and we managed to get, I think, about three quarters of the pub just kind of singing along at one point. But what you're going to notice in the next little bit of audio is that we do get very drunk, and a lot of the people at the Maritime Festival get very drunk as well. And I must warn you, by the time it gets to this stage of the evening, it's not only sea shanty songs that people sing, we have all sorts of crazy people, so I expect to hear some rather unusual, unexpected drunken songs, and we also feature some rather unusual drunken interviews as well. So now let's fade back into our coverage of the Piggadarm Maritime Festival.
Seven green bottles hanging on the wall, and if one green bottle should accidentally fall, there'd be 16 bottles hanging on the wall. 16 bottles hanging on the wall. 16 bottles hanging on the wall, and if one green bottle should accidentally fall, there'd be 9 green bottles hanging on the wall. There'd be 5 green bottles hanging on the wall, and if 5 green bottles hanging on the wall, and if one green bottle should accidentally fall, there'd be 4 green bottles hanging on the wall. There'd be 4 green bottles hanging on the wall. There'd be 4 green bottles hanging on the wall, and if one green bottle should accidentally fall, there'd be 3 green bottles hanging on the wall. There'd be 3 green bottles hanging on the wall. There'd be 3 green bottles hanging on the wall. If one green bottle should accidentally fall, there'll be 2 green bottles hanging on the wall. There'll be 2 green bottles hanging on the wall. There'll be 2 green bottles hanging on the wall. And if one green bottle hanging on the wall, there'll be 1 green bottle hanging on the wall. There'll be 2 green bottles hanging on the wall. There'll be 1 green bottle hanging on the wall. And if one green bottle should accidentally fall, there'll be no green bottles hanging on the wall. There's no green bottles hanging on the wall.
Yeah. falls with his bitch through his nose and it
fall down through the ocean.
So Yannicko is right next to us, one of the visual organisers.
And here she is. Jannica, how's it been the first day, Friday?
Very, very good.
It has, hasn't it? Everybody, all these, you know.
Are you recording it?
We are, and I think that 200 years ago we were invading these countries and now we're all friends.
It was very good, and your performances were very good.
Oh, thank you very much, Jannica.
Thank you very much.
All right, well, that's it. Join us.
We're exhausted about the younger.
It's been a good night, hasn't it, Mick?
It's been an excellent
night. We've had a good time, and may I thank you, because you come on and you helped us out there, because it was a very noisy pub.
It was.
And it's great to see that you came on. You helped us along with the Polish group Banana Boat as well. Oh, it was an excellent atmosphere.
Once I realised it wasn't Polish group, I was away with it, you know.
It wasn't very polished, but it was Polish, certainly. An absolutely brilliant night has been had. Hopefully we've made a good impression. But we've literally, we've had everybody on stage. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Kevin.
Ah, yes.
I love you.
Oh, yeah. Right, thank you.
Of course you do, David.
Thank you, my friends. There's a man from Bagger Wrinkle.
He's always on the single.
He's going to see.
Let me in. That's the secret. Come on, let me in. Go on. Give us a song.
You know the song where you...
Nobody wrinkle.
You started a song where...
One person started it, then the next... Then the next, but which one was it?
It was,
Now we are ready.
Now we are ready. Now we are ready to head for the horn. We're rolling, roll. The birds in our clothes are rolling the pond. Be rolling, randy, dandy, Good night. Well, there's some very interesting things going on right now. We have a lot of forkies and or maritimers ready to maritime it up and sing their sea shanties. But we have a few Dutch people who have parked their car at the Doofpots, more or less, and are blasting out Dutch hip hop. But I'm going to go up to them right now and ask them what's going on here. Here we are. So, hello, is this Dutch hip hop? So we just go around the car here. Sorry to interrupt, are we listening to. Is this Dutch hip hop we're listening to right now?
This is American hip hop.
Oh, is it American? It sounds quite Dutch. Who is it? Who are we listening to?
Sister.
Oh, right.
This music is. Fat Joe.
Yes. Oh, good old Fat Joe. We love Fat Joe. Charul. So are you not into your Dutch hip hop? Is there not any Dutch hip hop going on?
Campy. De jeugd van tegenwoordig.
Where is is it? Why don't we listen to Dutch hip hop? Let's have some Dutch hip hop.
We got Dutch hip hop here.
Let's get some Dutch hip hop on. Have you got any with you?
Hey,
let's get some Dutch hip hop on.
You can't be drunk. That's what I do. We got Dutch hip hop. Here, this Dutch hip hop.
All right, we got some Dutch hip hop right now. Playing from a man's car. Yeah! Oh, yes!
So, on the length of an undictor, the dictor.
Can anybody translate here? What's being said? What's being said in our Dutch hip hop here?
The system in the country.
Yeah.
About Negro men, the smoking of the joints.
He doesn't like the smoking.
Smoking weed.
But you're smoking.
Smoking.
Hang on, but you're smoking. So you're listening to hip hop, which says he doesn't like the smoking, but you're smoking.
His music goes about, about the life on the ghetto in.
Right. The Dutch ghetto.
Yeah.
Is there a Dutch ghetto? Does a Dutch ghetto exist?
Yeah, Dutch ghetto is here. Amsterdam.
Here. With the red light district and things like that.
Yeah, but you go into the city, Groningen.
Oh, yes.
There's the red light, the hookers and something shit.
Right, okay. And are they generally the subjects of hip-hop, Dutch hip-hop?
Well,
prostitutes and people taking drugs and smoking, is that Dutch hip-hop or not?
Yeah, we got something that, but not over hookers, but well over smoking and shit.
Yeah. All right, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, we like your most American hip-hop, old school, Tupac, Biggie Smalls.
Oh, yeah. You must know, I mean, come on, from England. You're Tim Westwood, your big dog, blasting off Tim Westwood.
I know what you mean.
Westwood. But Tim Westwood, picking up the English style, the British hip-hop scene, is blasting off, my friend.
I don't know, man. I don't.
Oh, my God. You don't listen to British hip-hop. I am drinking the hip-hop, the drink of hip-hop. Water! Yeah!
You can better talk with him, man.
When I say war, you say ter. War! Water! No, water! No, he's not quite got it.
You said what? You said ta.
All right, go on.
Mm-hmm, come on.
Well, go on, then. You do it. What? You say war, and I say
so where you come from?
You
come from Middlesbrough?
I come from Hartlepool, the home of hip-hop.
Hartlepool. You come from England?
England, Hartlepool, Hartlepool, on the northeast coast of England, where hip-hop is happening, my friends.
We're living together
in the same ghetto we're representing right now.
Yeah, this is the ghetto.
This is the ghetto.
Yeah, if you look there, you hear some shirts.
That's right. Boom, come on. Get the bass going. You get the drums, we get the bass. We got it all going on. All going on right now.
Die, bitch, I get some money for
you. That's right. Yo, okay, here we go. Gonna MC live right in the place. That's right, I'm rapping in your face. You may be Dutch, you're not Butch, but you know, thank you much, we're here. That's right, you've got the clutch. Here we go, we're not breaking, mistaking the place to be. We're right here, MC. Here we go, we got the folk. Now you may think that this is some kind of elaborate joke, but we got the Dutch going on. Yes, we got the Dutch going strong. The hip-hop beat is coming at you like Margaret Thatcher. From the MC of the Tory, we got going on, coming on strong. Here we go, be strong enough, going on off with enough boomerang, around the tang, never meringue. Alright, yo, it's right in the place. Here we go, we got going in the bed. Come on, give the chase
the
throw.
Drop the shit. You drop. Give me a back.
Hey,
drop the shit, man.
That's right. Oh yeah.
Seriously,
we are representing.
We do it like this, Luke.
Come on, you do it. You do it. Dutch hip hop. Come on, let's go.
I can, man.
Come on, let's go.
Wait,
go.
I have to feel the beat.
Feel that. Feel it. Feel it, beat, man. Hot. Hot. Boom.
Oh, start better. Ideas come to fish or clever. Alcohol en drank. Gouden combinatie. Gangbang en spang. De hele avond lang. Langer dan je had verwacht. We hadden meer dan gedacht. Klaar komen in je mond. Klaar komen in je kont. Oh shit. Ik spit die gruwelijk. Want dit is geen huwelijk. Ik zweer, die bruidegom met haar witte taart. Ik zweer, ze is al bejaard. Ze woont in een bejaardentehuis. Maar ik zweer, de muis was niet pluis.
Oh! Ja, yeah, I hear what you're saying, man. And I know inside your brain, I hear your soul. You're in control. But deep down, you wanna be sown. Here we go, we're rocking tonight. Here we go, we're playing it right. Everything's fine with the hip and the hop. And we're rapping and everything's fine. We won't stop because we know the score. We know what's more. We are rapping with every single verse. There's no need to rehearse. We not got no cars. Here we go. Come on, hip hop, hop, ha. Yo, come on. Yo, big dog. Big dog, come on tonight. You got it, come on. Ha, ha, fuck a dog.
I fucked your bitch in a clicky clack. I hit him out when I think again. Hit him out when I think again. You claim to be a player, but I fucked your wife. You got some bad boys when you fuck your ass. Yes, yes, yes,
my friend.
He got sick of cells. This nigga got sick of cells.
I think we better go back to the old drums room. We've killed hip hop. Let's just say let's say goodbye to the hip hoppers.
Yo, you may say go to hell, but we say dankjewel.
What did that man say? That was very rude of him.
He was fucking his wife with a knife. He was fucking his wife with a knife. He's fucking my wife. I don't even have a wife. But she was big.
He's gonna rape your wife, sir.
He's gonna rape my wife.
I told him
wife.
I told him you don't have a wife, but I don't think that'll stop him.
I'll fuck your wife with a knife. And thus we say goodnight. Michael Hughes in his bed, Sean Cooney in his, and of course me in my camper bed, having lost the game of rock, paper, scissors. So, from me, David Eagle.
From me, Michael
of the Hughes.
Oh, David, speak. Say good tea.
Hear me over there without my bed and mounting me.
Say it for me, Sean Cooney. Just say it for me, Sean Cooney.
Rape victim, Sean Cooney. Just get out of my bed.
Shut up, you moron. Good night. Well, it was too good to be true, I thought, after the shenanigans of last time when Sean Cooney was sick after his kebab. I thought we'd escaped. We've managed to go through the whole night with Sean absolutely fine. And then it literally gets to the morning and we're ready to go. We're about 10 minutes just before our performance. We're about to leave the hotel. We thought everything's absolutely fine. Michael Hughes just went, come on, youngins, let's go kick some ass. And we're just about to leave the door. And I went, yeah. And then Sean went, and I don't know what. And then those noises to that effect have been happening periodically for the last 10 minutes, and Sean is yet to emerge from the bathroom, and we're literally meant to be performing in the next 2 minutes. So Michael Lewis and I are wondering what songs we can possibly do together. How are you feeling, Mr. Cooney? Excellent. And now we're going to perform in the church. Well, Michael Hughes has managed to do it again. We've just, we're in the church ready to do our first performance, and the photographer has, just arrived, who, not a smile, but kind of, he's, as I said before, a very composed person. Even when Sean Cooney is tickling him under the armpits when he's trying to do a picture, he just doesn't flinch. And so Mike's just turned to this woman and went, oh, hello, how are things going with you? Whoa. And it was a bit drunk last night and a little bit hugging and kissing going on. So Mike just went, oh, yes, give me a kiss, and thrust himself at this woman. And then the photographer just came up to Michael Hughes and went, no, don't. My wife. And sort of, look, can't tell because of his kind of neutral expression, whether he was a little bit annoyed, oh my God, Hughes, or whether he was absolutely fine. But I'm sure with the photographic evidence that man had from last night, if he is annoyed, he's got enough incriminating evidence to ruin our folk career. So it remains to be seen.
Oh, we're out every morning.
We've done our performance in the church, which went very well. It's great acoustics in there. Or Mike's just been speaking to some French people, and the strange thing about when you hardly know a language is you start saying certain words in that language. So he just went to them, oh yeah, because they were on next, the group Le Bolin, who are a brilliant French group. And Mike goes, oh yeah, it's really good. Très bien, yeah, really good. It's really great. You got in the church, you say, you got great... A bit of a pause. Acoustique. Yeah, great acoustique. And like, for God's sake, they're more likely to understand acoustics in English than all the preamble that went before. So following on from yesterday's education, you probably thought, well, David, can you not give us a break? We had too much education yesterday. Well, following on from our Dutch language course, yesterday we learned that the Dutch for train is train. Today I can tell you it's a little bit more complex, so listen up. It's not quite the same. The Dutch for soup is soep. Ah, you thought I was going to say soup there, but no, soep. So have a little practice and come back. Feel free, you know, to come back when you're ready to learn our next piece of information.
If you want to enrol, but incidentally, for the intermediate course, webmaster at theyoungans.co.uk, please send us your details. We'll post out an application form to you.
Obviously, it's going to be quite expensive. It's being such a high-paced course. Now, you see, now you're thinking, what this is great, David, because now I can say, if somebody rings me, my Dutch friend rings me and says, what are you doing? If I happen to be eating soup on a train, I can now say, I am eating soup on a train, and your Dutch friends will...
At least they'll be able to understand one word, David.
Yeah, exactly. They'll be able to say soup and train, exactly. They won't necessarily know what you're doing with the soup and the train. You're sitting in soup and eating a train. Could get very confusing for the Dutch. Yeah, so it's kind of the equivalent of this language thing of when we were in French and German, and we got taught that the French and the German people have different ways of saying ow. So if you hurt yourself, you go ow. They'll go, the Germans, for instance, go aua. But I don't know why we got told this, but this is like an important lesson. We spent an hour learning the different ways in which people express pain. Maybe just in case we ever wanted to punch a German, and they went ow. And we're like, no, you've done that wrong, my friend. You've done that. It's aua. So you would know that there was.
You got the best possible education there.
I got the very thing I did. Exactly. I think it was just we had a very violent language teacher. I think that's all it was, really.
So here, let's wreck a little bullshine rhyme. What are you about, cat of the swallowtail line?
Ho way, ho way, you must dance.
She's never a day behind her time. So
here, let's wreck a little bullshine run. So behind her dig in the joint in Ghana. Ho way, ho way, you must dance. With lies on it all on my knees.
So
here, let's wreck a little bullshine run.
Oh, with
round and girls hang round.
Ho-way-ho, you must run.
And as me lines are sealed, be found. So,
come in and the regular and the bull joint. Run to me high, like a jig in a joint in car. Ho-way-ho, you must run. With lies of the almighty. So,
thickens, Mr. Hughes. Oh, Michael's now trying to open a door. These Dutch doors, Michael, they're very tricky. There we are. The plot thickens because, well, there's two things which have happened involving our character, who I think rather finds Michael Lewis attractive. I think he does. He might be married, but he's made quite a few comments. One which escaped my attention last night, which he's got a massive banana painted on his shirt. So this man had a banana on his shirt, and Mike came out with a little comment. Is that a banana in your pocket, mate? Is that a banana in your pocket? Or, you know, are you pleased to see me? And the man went, well, there wasn't a banana in my pocket, but there is now. So he was, that could be perhaps interpreted. But then there was a better one. We saw the band perform. They just finished doing this performance, the band in question, who we're not mentioning because of these accusations. But what happened was, the band finished, and Mike, without realising what he was saying, apparently, another inadvertent comment that could be misinterpreted, Mike said to the man, oh, seriously, mate, yeah, that was a brilliant performance. I'm blown away down here. Blown away. and the man gave a little laugh and went, yes, yes. So goodness knows what's going to happen, but the saga continues, because not only has all that been happening, but the man in question has now gone up to Michael Hughes and asked if he'd like to go for a drink. So now Mike said, oh well, we're a bit busy at the moment, we've got stuff going on. But then the man has persuaded Michael. He's begged him. I would say he got down on his knees, but I think after what we've just been saying, so what happens is, now Mike's tried to railroad us into it as well, and he's going to get Sean, and I think we're going to have a flute with this man. I'm trying to protect his identity, it may come out, so to speak.
And no idea what I'm singing about, it's all in English, but... The next song is Blow Them In Down.
Oh, Blow Them
Down. Oh, Blow Them In Down. Oh,
I'm talking about
something. Oh, I'm a deep water sailor, just home from Hong Kong.
Tell me!
Hooray, Blow Them In Down.
If you give me some whiskey, I'll sing yours a song.
And give me some time to blow them in down.
Yes, I was a rolling down Paradise Street.
Tell me!
Fed policemen I happen to meet.
In case of time to blow the man down.
Just he or the black bowler by the card of your hat.
Tommy! Hooray, hey, blow the man down.
And along with that top sea boats and that I see you wear.
In case of time to blow the man down.
You've sailed in some packet that flies the black bull.
Tommy! Hooray!
Some poor Dutchman, no boots, gloves, and all.
Give me some time to blow the man down.
Oh, mister, you does me great wrong.
Tell me the way, blow the man down.
I'm a flying fish sailor, just home from Hong Kong.
Give me some time to blow the man down.
No, I spit in his face, hey. And I stole in his jaw.
Tell me the way.
Young fella, you're breaking the law.
Give me some time to blow the man down.
Well, they gave me 6 months, boys, in Moulton town.
Take me away, hey, blow the man down.
Oh, the button and kicking and blowing him down.
Give me some time to blow the man down.
Now, all you young fellas, what follows in the sea?
Take me away.
Put your fence in the wind, boys, and listen to me.
And give it some time to blow the man down.
I'll give you a warning before we be late.
Hooray, blow the man down.
Take a little off at policeman, you'll find it will pay.
Give it some time to
Mike is hilarious when he attempts to talk to people not of this, of our country, also known as foreigners, but it sounds a bit racist nowadays in this politically correct world to call people foreigners for some reason. You know what I mean. People who do not necessarily inhabit this same country as the one that I would inhabit. So basically, every time he tries to get in touch with any foreign people, he just doesn't understand that he's got to tone down his language. He's got to make it more simple. What he actually instead does is he just goes all out. He just goes, oh, so some of the comments he's come out with, he keeps saying, oh, that's the badger, mate, oh, yes, and things like that. The best thing, he said, oh, canny, mate, it's going to be absolutely great, it's going to be canny, yeah, because we're going to go out for a few bevies, I think, tonight, yeah, we're going to bevy it up, you know, and the man went, who he was talking to, I'm sorry? You know, bevies, mate, we're going to bev it right up, oh, yeah, like by adding right up, he's going to make it bev it up. There's certain people in England who wouldn't understand that. So in the end, it was like, you know, bevies, mate, beverages. I'm like, why don't you just say drink? Oh, yeah, drink. We're going to have a drink. Right, okay. But the classic one, which he's also said, is when we were waiting in the food queue, he shouted at someone who was Dutch or German or something. He shouted, hey, pal, what's the deal with the grubbage? And the man turned around, sorry? The grubbage, pal, the grubbage. You know, food. Hey, dear.
We have a man who was, you were brilliant, you were ingratiating us with all sorts of impressions earlier. There was a group on before who were singing a little bit posh, and you were doing your posh accent. So can we have a...
I say.
Ah, yes! What about golly gosh?
Golly gosh!
Can you do Scottish? Do a Scottish.
Go on.
We're all doomed.
See you, Jimmy. Can your mother saw?
Yes.
Get that stitched.
That is brilliant. Irish.
Irish?
Hi.
No, I can't do Irish.
You can't do Irish.
I'm from Ireland.
Oh, Paddy. How are we dram your Paddy?
I don't want to sound like a plastic Paddy, you see.
French, can you do French?
Hello, hello. Listen very carefully. I only did this once. For the second time.
German.
Ah, via various ways of make you talk.
Very good. Oh, and finally, Australian.
Good day, mate. How are you doing?
That's genius! This is a Dutchman with talent.
Tommy Kangaroo Dan Sport. Tommy Kangaroo Dan.
Shake a wallaby.
Tommy Kangaroo Dan Sport. Tommy Kangaroo Dan.
Brilliant! Oh!
Now, it could be said that we have found the filthiest man in Holland, and I'm not talking about his appearance or his looks, but he doesn't seem to mind, I was going to say, before he runs off in defiance, but what's your name, my friend?
Fred.
Fred, all right, excellent. And before, I didn't notice, but I was just saying it there, you seem to have an interesting crossbreeding of accents. You've got a bit of Dutch and maybe a bit of Australian, or is it Cockney? I think we have to get to the bottom.
It's more or less English. A larger part of my life, I've played rugby with English spoken people.
All right, I was a bit American there. And now we're going to hear one of your sort of dirty shanties, aren't we? I think it's safe to say.
You asked for it.
Exactly. So let's hear. Give it a little introduction. What's it all about?
It's a captain shanty, and it's about a man who's bringing a lobster home.
Right, okay. Over to you, my friend.
Hey, you fishermen home from the sea, have you got a lobster you will sell to me? Singing hey, tiddly-ho, shit or bust, never let your bollocks dangle in the dust. Oh, yes, sir, I've got two, the biggest of the bastards I will sell to you. Singing hey, tiddly-ho, shit or bust, never let your bollocks dangle in the dust. And I took the lobster home and I put it in a dish, I put it in a dish where the missus takes a piss. Singing hey tiddly ho, shit or bust, and never let your bollocks dangle in the dust. In the middle of the night, as you may know, the missus got up to doing so and so. Singing hey tiddly ho, shit or bust, and never let your bollocks dangle in the dust. And the missus gave a squeal and the missus gave a grunt, and there was a lobster hanging from her cunt. Singing hey tiddly ho, shit or bust, and never let your bollocks dangle in the dust.
Just got to a very poignant moment there, my friend.
What will happen next? A cliffhanger.
And I grabbed the brush and she grabbed the broom. We chased the fucking lobster all around the room. Singing hey tiddly-ho, shit or a bust, and never let your bollocks dangle in the dust. And we hit it on the head and we hit it on the side. We hit the fucking lobster till the bastard died. Singing hey tiddly-ho, shit or a bust, and never let your bollocks dangle in the dust. There's a moral to the story, and the moral that is this: always have a shufti before you have a piss. Singing hey tiddly-ho, shit or bust, and never let your bollocks dangle in the dust. Never let your bollocks dangle in the dust.
Excellent.
Hello, John.
I should point out that this isn't it's a standard hotel, more or less a family area where we are at this morning time. It's a good job most people don't understand the English connotations of that song. That's absolutely brilliant. The dirtiest man in Holland.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Well, never has the saying "save the best till last" ever been so pertinent. I think we did that just then. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, that's probably the highlight, I would imagine, of what you've just heard. Well, I think it's safe to say that we've brought you all the culture of Holland, thanks to us. People will be wanting to go there now, I'd imagine. Why are so many people? Why is there a sudden influx of people wanting to come into Holland? Have you not heard David Eagle? The Young'uns, the documentary, will probably be made an honorary Dutchman after this, I would imagine. But we hope you've enjoyed our little offering. I'd just like to also say that I personally am available for documentaries. If you want other subjects covered, if you want any investigative journalism done, I am available for that. So, and a quick reminder before we leave as well, that you can find out more about the Young'uns at folkfork.co.uk. He's not doing the F word again, is he? folk.co.uk. And you can visit my website at davideagle.co.uk. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope that our paths cross again. But if that does happen, remember, I do have right of way. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, stay warm, look after your hats. Bye!
David Eagle. David Eagle. The radio experience.